Welcome to the Golden Strip Soundcast, the official podcast of the Golden Strip School of Music. Today we continue our interviews with our students. We have a guitar student with us who's going to be an awesome interview because he's got such an interesting story. So go ahead and introduce yourself to us and tell us all about you.
Okay, well, my name is Dan Niehaus, and I'm coming up on 70 years old. I retired from a long career in manufacturing management about 4 or 5 years ago. And upon retiring, I decided to go to University of South Carolina, upstate campus, and join their commercial music program. So I've been a student there for the last 4 years. And so, I've got one more year to go.
One more year to go, huh?
Yep.
What made you decide to go back to school for a music degree?
Well, there's a couple reasons. One was I actually went to a retirement advisor, or, you know, we call him financial advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me a really good question. He said, well, once you retire, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm going to be retired. You know, I'm going to relax. And he said, well, yeah, but what are you going to do?
Right.
And I hadn't really thought about it until then. And I got thinking about other people that I knew that were retired. And most of them are pretty happy, but most of them complained about not really having anything to focus on or to keep themselves busy. And so a lot of them get, like, part-time jobs. I was tired of working. So I decided, you know, I had a lifelong interest in music. I played theater organ ever since I was a little kid. And I had quit maybe about 10, 15 years ago. And so I thought, well, you know, it's an area of interest, and I'd like to learn more about music and see what I can do.
So how long altogether have you been playing the guitar?
I've been playing about 8, 9 years now.
And out of those 8, 9 years, how long have you been one of Sean's students?
Actually, I started with Sean.
Oh, you started with Sean?
Yeah. My kids bought me a guitar for Christmas because they heard I wanted to be a rock star all my life.
Nice.
And so they bought me a guitar and 1 month of lessons with Sean, and that got me going.
That's great. So you've been putting up with Sean for a long time.
Yeah, he's great.
Have you ever seen him perform live?
I have. He's awesome. He's really good.
It was good?
Yes.
I finally got to see him a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. I've seen him a couple of times. I saw him at a thing down in Fountain Inn. It was like a Broadway-type show.
Right.
And then I saw him up at a restaurant in Greenville. I've seen him a couple of times. He's really, really good.
That is very cool. But what is it like taking lessons with Sean? Well, what's the experience been over the years?
I have to contrast him with, I quit taking lessons from Sean when I started school and started taking lessons with Adam. And so their approaches are a little bit different. Sean is, he's very, very technical. He's very demanding technically. You have to be able to, you know, have your fingers in the right position. You have to keep the timing exactly perfect. And he really focuses in on getting you to do all those things.
Right.
He also, I think, is real accommodating in that he likes, you know, he asks you what you want to play, what you want to learn, and he will work really, really hard to get you there. You know? The only problem with Sean, I think, is he's so demanding that it's, like, hard to move to the next step. You know, you may be working on a song, you come in and say, well, I really got this down, and you play it and say, you got to do this, and come back the next week. You want to go home and just shoot yourself.
Yeah, I have heard him been called by other students as being intimidating.
I don't think he's intimidating at all. He's just got to know where you stand, you know what to expect. And Adam is a jazz guitarist.
Okay.
He's like, and he's got another project where he plays in a fish band.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So, you know, he's got to be good. I mean, he's right. Really, really good. And his focus is more on jazz theory. And understanding, okay, over this chord progression, these are the scales you want to play, these are the notes you want to play, the chords, you know, instead of playing like a standard fifth chord, you'll play some sort of modified fifth, you know, altered fifth chord.
Right.
Really into all that jazz harmony type stuff. And so it's a bigger stretch for him, I think, on learning the theory stuff and being more flexible in how you play. You
know? Right.
But I think both of them kind of complement each other, you know, and so it's been a good learning experience with both of them.
Yeah, so you're getting the technical from Sean and basically the improv stuff from Adam.
Right, right.
Right, so,
and I'm not good at it either.
I was about to say, I'm expecting you to be very accomplished.
Yeah, not so much.
I did see you walk in here with a very cool-looking book.
Oh, yeah, Jimi Hendrix book.
Yes, with a certain guitarist on it.
Yeah.
So you're a big Hendrix fan?
Well, the last thing we have to do to graduate is something called Senior Seminar.
Okay.
And so you have to pick like an artist or a genre of music and put it on like a 20-minute presentation. Half of which is lecture and half of which is playing. So I decided my subject would be Jimi Hendrix, just because he's a great guitar player.
Very cool.
Little did I know how hard it is to play Jimi Hendrix stuff.
He makes it look like he's just so easy and he's just flowing through it. And then you're like, man, he plays guitar or chords so different than the rest of...
Oh, he does. I mean, he's good.
Yes, extremely good. What has been the biggest challenge for you in learning guitar? I'm assuming you already could read music when you got here. From the organ days?
Yeah. I think, well, one is being old. So I'm just not, I think all guitarists want to be able to play really fast. And that's not really necessary, but you want to. And I think sure. That's probably the biggest challenge is that. And I'm used to a keyboard layout, which the notes follow sequentially. And the guitar right. is not like that at all. It's like,
they're everywhere.
They're everywhere, so... Trying to sight read on a guitar took me a while to get that down, but I got it now.
But most guitars I know hate it.
Yeah, I know.
Except for Sean loves it because to him it's like this mathematical, alphabetical language thing
that he just
gets totally into. And sometimes he gets talking about it, my eyes glaze over. I'm like, dude, I hated reading music when I was learning to play guitar, and I don't want anything to do with it.
But I was surprised how much more difficult guitar is than keyboards. I mean, I was playing, two or three rank, keyboard, organ with pedals and everything, so you got your hands
in. Oh, you got everything going.
Yeah, but guitar is harder. My dad and I argue about it all the time. He thinks it's much harder.
My daughter just tried to show me to play piano, and I was totally lost because the finger numbering thing just totally threw me off. I've been playing guitar for 40 years or whatever. And I'm used to 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
That's what I've got.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, no, your thumb is one now. I'm like, I just couldn't get it. And she has no patience for me. So that was the end of my piano days. What's your current focus with your lessons with Sean?
Right now we're focusing on getting ready for the Hendrix stuff because basically I have to put together like 5 or 6 songs and... Each song would take me about 3-4 months to put together, so I'm getting short on time.
Have you got your songs all picked out, the ones you're
Pretty
doing?
Pretty much. I'm going to do When Cries Mary, Purple Haze. The purpose is to demonstrate different phases of his career.
Right.
Voodoo Child, maybe the Star-Spangled Banner.
Always a good one.
Yeah, and then the one that's killing me is the blues song. I can't remember. Red House.
Red House. Whoa, that's a deep cut.
Yeah. Just trying to learn the intro, and that's killing me.
Let's see. I already asked you about the hardest part of learning to play, and you mentioned wanting to go fast.
Well, yeah, and the other part of it is when I was learning to play organ, I never played to a metronome, and that was really, really bad. I mean, I think for any new student, they should, like, buy a metronome and learn how to play to it because that gets your timing down,
right.
the way it should be. And, again, when you play an organ, you're playing the rhythm by yourself, so you can slow down, speed up all by yourself without even knowing it.
Right.
And with a metronome, you got to be, like, right on it.
And my daughter's piano teacher, who's Carol Horn, the teacher here, makes her use a metronome. So
right.
I've had, 12 years of hearing click, 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 coming from the dining room area where the piano is.
Yeah, but you know how it is. I mean, if you go play with a band, you get the drum is the metronome.
Exactly. So exactly.
It's the same thing. And if you can get that feeling, you really can play music.
What's your long-term musical goals?
Just to get through school right now. what I'd really like to do is like play in like a garage band, not necessarily in public, but maybe once or twice a week where you get a bunch of guys that like to play music,
right.
Them together and just play some songs and, have a good time.
Well, that's actually something we're working on here, is to be able to provide a space for guys to do that.
Yeah.
And women, guys, I just Included all of humanity, and guys, I apologize.
Yeah, Sean just started a thing where we're going to play once a month as a group.
Here. Right, I think on Wednesdays, right?
Yeah, right. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, the only day that the recording studio is not running at night.
Yeah.
So we can get in there without causing any trouble. Well, what keeps you coming? You said you've gone periodically with Sean. What keeps you coming back to Sean as opposed to going to somebody else?
Well, I don't know anybody else to start out with, I guess. And the same thing, I think he's just a good teacher. I mean, I think he's really good. He's really patient, he's very positive when he's teaching.
I think
it's a good learning experience. Technically you got to be better than probably you think you need to be, but I think that's good for the student.
Right. I've heard him tell his students, and I'm sure he's told you, that one of the best things you can do is record yourself practicing.
Right.
Because then if you think you did good, it's almost like the same pressure of having him sit there because you're recording it.
Oh, I know. I've done that several times for school projects, and it's taken me like hours and hours to record a 2-minute song.
Oh, I'm sure it has. I had to do just a video for a friend of mine that was getting an award from the college we went to, and I must have done that 40, 50 times over here in the YouTube studio. It's just like, well, that was terrible.
I know exactly what you mean.
Because I can edit sound a lot better than I can edit video, so I just kept redoing it. I was like, on the iPhone, press. Nope, you didn't look good there. Oh, the lights weren't right here. Now, you've got your Hendrix book. Do you have another, like, favorite band or guitarist that really helped make you lean towards playing?
Favorite guitarists for me are Stevie Ray Vaughan and Mark Knopfler.
Wow. Those are two very different styles of playing.
I know, but they're both really good.
Oh, yeah. Do you have, like, a style you consider yourself?
Garage band.
Everybody's got their own thing. If you were doing the garage band, what kind of music would you guys be playing?
Probably classic rock.
Classic rock?
Yeah. Some jazz. I like, light jazz, not heavy stuff.
Right. Yeah, I used to tell people I always liked playing jazz, but I can't stand listening to it.
Right.
It just, I don't know why.
I mean, it's interesting to play because, you're trying to play different scales over different chords, and trying to keep up with it. So, it's a challenge to play.
Oh, the guys that can improvise in jazz are just amazing. I could never improvise in jazz. It was always set pieces that we were doing because I don't, maybe my brain's too slow and my fingers are too slow. One of the two, but I had to know what I was playing. I couldn't just go, okay, I'm down with this and go crazy with the improvisations. Now, other than preparing for your end of school, what do you find yourself practicing the most when you do practice?
I try and break it up into little segments. I like to practice like just kind of theory stuff like scales and chord inversions and stuff like that, just to kind of keep up with that. And then it's usually I'll gravitate towards playing, like the Hendrix stuff or whatever he's got me learning at the time. I tend to really, really focus in on that. And then, which is kind of bad because I forget all the other stuff that I've learned.
Right.
So I have to go back and relearn everything that I've learned so far. And so I've got a family thing coming up where I'm going to play a few songs for them. So I'm trying to relearn stuff that I learned like 10 years ago.
Oh, wow. That seems like a lot of pressure. I think I'd rather perform for my professor than for my family.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because at least the professor's going to tell me the truth. The family's, you did great. Meanwhile, they're going, no, that was not good at all.
I need to put in a plug for USC Upstate program.
Go be my guest.
I got to tell you, the professors up there have been, like, highly supportive. I mean, I'm the old guy going in there, and they've been nothing but encouraging. I mean, the department head and the head of the fine arts department, I mean, they've been over backwards to help me get through the program, and it's been really good.
That's great. What was that like going in there as you said, the old guy? Because number one, you don't look 70.
I feel 70. I think when I started, my biggest worry was, how the other kids were going to accept me, all the other students. And they've been great. They've been really great. And I think the thing I finally realized was that, they have their own issues, so they don't really care about what I'm doing.
Right.
I'm just this old guy over in the corner. You know, and I was worried about, you know, being the guy where everybody looked at him and said, oh, bless his heart, he's trying to learn how to play music. but I haven't gotten that feeling from them. And actually, you know, I've worked with students, other students on projects and stuff, and it's been great. I mean, it's been really, really good.
And for the people that listen to this podcast in the North, bless your heart is not something nice that somebody says down here in the South. It is the number one Southern insult.
Right, exactly.
Did you find, though, that the kids actually kind of gravitated towards you for advice or wisdom or your approach to playing?
No, because they were all better players than me. I think I got more of a sense, you know, I thought that might happen, but I got more of a sense that they were just treating me pretty much like another student.
So you're just another student? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought, that was the really good part, I thought. Yeah.
But what has been what's the hardest song you ever learned?
Pride and Joy by Stevie Ray Vaughan, or we learned Sultans of Swing.
Yeah, Mark Knopfler is a difficult guitarist to emulate.
Yeah, I only got about halfway through that because he does so many little riffs in there.
Right.
You know, and I think he's making them up as he goes along.
I have heard that, like, if you see him in concert, it's different every time.
Yeah.
So there's...
I think all good artists are like that.
I think so, too, because they're going to get bored playing the same thing over and over and over and over again. What's the heaviest song, like the hardest rocking song you've done?
Blue Child.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We did the Stevie Ray Vaughan version. That was fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I just heard... A month or two ago, Tom Morello, the guitarist from Rage Against the Machine, just did a cover of Voodoo Child. And it's awesome. It's got the typical, I mean, you know it's him playing no matter what because of the weird sounds he adds. But it was very cool to hear somebody else's take on it.
Yeah. The coolest thing I did at school was the very first thing I did at, they have every Friday, they call it recital, where all the whole music department gets together and every student is required to at least present something or play something twice a term. So the first time I ever played, I did the Hendrix version of the Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, did you?
That was really cool. I mean, everybody really got into it. Of course, I wasn't as good as Hendrix, but, you know, you put a lot of distortion and play Star Spangled Banner, you can sound all right.
A lot of distortion. Do you practice with distortion?
Because
I know Sean has said it, and I've heard it other places, that practicing with distortion is one of the best things you can do. Because
string control.
Because it amplifies every mistake. If you're not using strings properly, you're going to hear it. So, you know, you could think, playing something clean, I am awesome. And then you hit that distortion pedal, and you're like, oh, my ears, what did I do?
That and a lot of reverb. If you play with a lot of reverb, you'll get the same thing. Because when you pull your finger off a string, you'll get that twang, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, I like having a lot of delay.
Really?
I don't know why. I've never been interested in playing fast, which as a guitarist I think is weird because, as you said, most guitarists want to learn to play fast. I always wanted to be more in the vein of a Gary Moore or a B.B. King where, you know, just a few notes made the sound.
I love the blues.
And my fingers just don't have the blues in them. I was terrible at it.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, I can mimic it, but there's just, you know, they say that your tone's in your hands.
Yeah.
But I think mine were just meant for, like, thrash metal. Because it, hard and fast, I'm great. But if I try and go slow and bluesy, it's just not there.
That's the talent. I don't have it.
Yeah. I'd love to have it. But then, I see Sean going back to seeing him play live. Mm-hmm. When he decides he's going to start shredding, it's phenomenal.
I know. First time I saw him, I said, I didn't know you could play that fast. I said, oh, yeah.
Have you noticed, though, sometimes he looks bored when he's playing?
Yeah.
Certain songs, especially the Broadway-type stuff.
Uh-huh.
We went to see him at the Spartanburg Little Theater's summer soundtracks. It was the 80s and 90s.
I think we were something very similar to that. Over to Spartanburg.
Yep. This was a couple weeks ago, and they did, what song did I know? I noticed it with, they played Under Pressure.
Uh-huh.
But the Queen and David Bowie version.
Yeah.
He looked like he just...
Gonna fall asleep up there.
Yeah, looked like he was daydreaming and nothing going on. But then they got into some of the rocking stuff in the second half, and he was totally engaged.
Right.
But I just thought it was funny to see him look so bored playing. He was making it look so effortless. And you know, he makes me want to turn my guitars into coffee tables, because that's really...
I've had that feeling many times.
Because I told you, you don't think he's intimidating. I do. Yeah. If I have a guitar in my hand, when that guy shows up downstairs, I'm like, I can't play anymore. It's like I turned a little kid in the principal's office.
Well, I still shake when I play in lessons. You know, my hands will shake like crazy.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, but you just got to kind of go through it, you know.
Right.
But the other thing I learned at school is when you play on stage, it's... You play halfway decent, it's a blast. It's just the most fun thing ever, you know. Play bad, it's not so much fun.
No. And I think it's... I think you can seriously overthink it when you're on stage. And so I think you do kind of have to look bored at... Not as bad as Sean did that time, but look like you're just effortless.
Yeah, a lot of people have told me, you know, musicians have said that if you make a mistake, nobody's going to know anyway, because most people don't know the music.
Exactly.
You know, note for note anyhow.
Right.
So yeah. Just got to learn how to relax and get up there and do the thing.
Oh, absolutely, because most of the people listening aren't just listening to you.
Right.
They're listening to everything else going on, and if they like the song, they're singing along. Uh-huh. So unless you make an egregious error... They're not going to notice it. And there was that old showbiz saying, if you make a mistake, just keep going. But if you make a mistake, make the same one again so that it sounds like you did it on purpose.
Right.
So what you've been with Sean all these years, what were your thoughts when he switched over here, when you saw this place?
Well, I didn't really know until I just started with him like 2 months ago.
Oh, okay.
At the end of the term. So I just found out 2 months ago. I really like the setup here. I think this is really, really a really good setup. I mean, for musicians and for him too. So I think, it was pretty good. I mean, it was okay, but this is like a musician studio, you know, that's a music store. That's the difference.
Right. Exactly. Yep. And I'm always fishing for compliments. So thank you.
You're welcome.
If Sean was here, what would you ask? What kind of question would you ask him?
How he can be so patient with all of us.
Well, I think that comes because he's just such a good teacher.
Yeah.
And it's all he does.
Right.
You know, that's his thing, is teaching. And nothing makes that guy happier than a student that exceeds him.
Right.
If you can exceed him, he has done his job and he's a happy little guitar teacher.
Yeah, the other thing that's really good about Sean is he'll prepare for lessons. You know, he doesn't come in and just all of a sudden sit down and say, okay, what are we working on? He'll actually be ready for the lesson, and he'll know the music that you're going to play ahead of time. So, you know, he's actually trying to play it, and
right. It's
something he knows really well. So.
I think he's got a photographic memory, just hasn't told us.
Well, that could be, yeah. But he's highly professional, I tell you. It's really a good deal.
That's good. Yes, he was my top pick when we started here. I grabbed him and Kevin Hoyer, the drum teacher.
Oh, okay.
Well, and Carol Horn, the piano teacher, because Kevin taught my son to play drums. Mm-hmm. And if he could teach my son to play drums, he could teach anybody. And then Kara's been my daughter's piano teacher since we moved here in 2015. Mm-hmm. And my daughter hates change, so I was like, please come to this school, please. And she went for it. So. Yeah. Luckily, we got a good core of teachers here.
Yeah, I think you got a good setup here. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better.
Yeah. Well, see how easy this was?
Yeah.
You thought it was going to be difficult, and it was easy. I appreciate you taking time out of your day to do this.
No problem. Thank you.
That's awesome. And congratulations on your almost graduation.
Yeah, a little hump to get over yet, but I'll do it.
You'll get there. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is the Golden Strip Soundcast, the official podcast of the Golden Strip School of Music.